the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten, for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our dramatic program today, The Camel and I, written by Morton Wishengrad, is the 10th in a series of recreations of 12 outstanding Eternal Light programs.
When you come to the land and plant trees, and trees and soil give forth their abundance, then shall you be like a tree planted by the waters. The name that he gave us was Reuben Aroni.
A-A-R-O-N-I.
We asked him his age.
35.
The place of his birth.
Budapest.
His last address.
Cyprus, camp number 16.
And we asked the question, not an easy question.
No relatives.
The answers were already written down on the card he had brought from Haifa. But asking again was a way of opening the conversation. When the questions were done with, it was Gordon who spoke.
Aroni, is there anything you'd like to ask us?
No.
I'm sure you must have some curiosity about our settlement.
No.
When you arrived at Haifa, you asked to come here, didn't you?
Yes.
Why not a settlement in Emek Jezreel? Why not in the Negev? Why here?
It was a place.
Care for a cigarette?
Thanks.
Aroni, we're a very new settlement. As you probably noticed, we're on a shelf of sand between a swamp and a couple of hills of gravel. We've treated the swamp so that there's no danger of malaria, but that's about all. The land probably isn't much good, but it was bought and paid for, and it's land.
Who'd be fool enough to buy it?
The Jewish National Fund.
Why this land?
Because it is this kind of land. They don't buy land. They redeem it. Anything else I can tell you?
No.
All right, Aroni. I'll show you your place to sleep.
Thanks.
I guess you're pretty tired.
Since 1939.
You'll have a night's sleep.
I don't sleep well.
You'll sleep here. Israel is the end of the line for you. Take two blankets and a pillow. Aroni, when people come home, they don't have to be frightened anymore.
This is the ancient testimony of the Torah. It is a goodly land, a land of streams of water and fountains of the deep, which come forth in the valley and the mountain. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranate. A land of oil, olive, and honey. A land in which thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. This is how it was. Today it is wasteland. It must be redeemed. I think you know how we build Eretz Yisrael. A few men, a few women push out into the desert. The hard, brutal, back-breaking, heartbreaking job of reclaiming the land begins. The settlement grows. More men come. More women. A nursery is built, then a school. The roots go deep. And then, all over again, A few men, a few women pushing further into the desert, over and over. It is work that calls for stamina and skill. But on the second day of his coming, it became evident that Reuben Aroni was endowed with a spectacular lack of talent. Ben Tzvi had the first experience of it.
Don't hold a saw like that, Aroni. You want to cut your thumb off?
No, Ben Tzvi.
Have you ever used a saw before?
Never.
Man, this lumber is precious. Why didn't you say you never used a saw?
No one asked me.
Well, put the saw down. You'll find a hammer there.
No, no.
Behind you. Well?
What shall I do?
Isn't it obvious? There are the nails, there are the boards, here are the two-by-fours. Nail the boards to the two-by-fours.
How do I do it, Ben Tzvi?
You mean you're that stupid?
I'm not stupid, I'm ignorant.
I stand corrected. Here, watch me. All right, now you try it, Aroni.
The nail bent.
Pull it out. Now try it again. You missed the nail. Try it again. Now, what did you hit?
My thumb.
Let's take a look at it. All right. Go to the infirmary hut. Aroni, don't stand there. Don't you even know when you're bleeding?
He was incredibly clumsy. It was all wrong. The pioneer settlement required men who were trained, and Reuben Aroni was hopeless. On the third day, he was put to work in the kitchen peeling potatoes. After half an hour, Rivka found him.
How did the potatoes get red?
I suppose it's from the blood.
What blood?
My blood.
On the fourth day, to keep him out of trouble, Aroni was assigned to help Arya with a plow horse. An aged creature without malice toward any human being.
Oh! All right, Aroni. Come to this side. I want to show you something about the horse. I said come around.
He won't let me, are you?
The horse is a she.
She won't let me.
She doesn't kick. This is the gentlest horse in the Middle East. Don't be afraid of her.
I'm not afraid.
Well, come around here, then.
I can't, are you?
Why can't you?
She's standing on my foot.
Get up. Come on.
All right, ho.
How does that feel?
Nothing seems to be broken.
Aroni, if no one else has said it, I should like to be the first to declare that there's a quality in you that approaches genius.
On the fifth day, a day when elsewhere in the world there was some discussion about permitting the establishment of a Jewish state in the land of Israel, some of our neighbors gathered to protest the current of events.
Down, everybody, down!
Heads out!
Heads out! Arya, bring out the rifles.
Rifles coming.
Rivka, can you see how many there are?
About 25, I'd say. Perhaps a few more.
Arya, see if you can crawl to the shed and assemble the machine gun.
Right.
David, you help him.
Sure.
Rivka, you think you can get the radio working?
I think so.
Don't exaggerate the attack. Tell Haganah that I think we can handle it ourselves.
All right.
Eliyahu, you take Ben Zvi, Moshe, and... Heads down! And head down! Aroni!
Yes, it's me.
Man, haven't you even got the instinct of self-preservation?
Rivka, sit him down and see to his wound.
He can't sit down, Gordon. That's where he's been hit.
The mistake was yours, Gordon. You only said heads down. Rivka, you stay here. I'll take care of Aroni. Crawl this way, pal.
The attack against our little settlement had begun shortly after the morning meal. The firing continued until Arya and I managed to assemble the machine gun Gordon had prudently remembered to bring along. That brought an end to the little flurry. The attackers left in some haste. After that, no one was much disposed to continue the work, and so we sat around talking. It didn't take very long for the conversation to get around to Reuben Aroni.
Does anyone have a practical suggestion?
Seems to me the only thing is send him back to Haifa.
No, we could be patient a little longer.
Rivka, it's hard enough to be patient with the desert, and patient with the flies and mosquitoes, and patient with the stink that comes from the swamp, and patient with the hot sun, and patient with the Arabs, and patient with all the diplomats overseas and our own politicians at home. But to be patient with Aroni, it's not in the contract.
Arya, the things he's been through are not the sort of things that train a man for work in the desert.
That's my point, Rivka. Let him leave the desert and go to Haifa or Tel Aviv or Jerusalem.
That means we quit on him.
This is a frontier settlement, not the place for occupational therapy.
Gordon, couldn't we let him stay a bit longer?
Arya's right. I would vote against it. I'm as sorry as you are. He's probably a pretty decent person.
Thank you for saying so, Gordon. I heard what you said.
When you came here, Aroni, I told you this was your home. I'm sorry, I have to go back on my word.
I have no hard feelings. In your place, I'd do the same thing.
You're a good fellow.
I'm a schlemiel.
Aroni, what were you before? I mean, before Cyprus.
Before Cyprus was Bergen-Belsen.
Before Bergen-Belsen.
Before Bergen-Belsen was Dachau.
Before Dachau.
That's a million years ago.
Well, all right, think back a million years ago.
I played the second fiddle in a symphony orchestra in Poland.
Well, then you were good for something.
You don't have to be very good to play second fiddle.
What I don't understand, Aroni, is why you didn't stay in Haifa, go to Tel Aviv or Jerusalem.
I didn't want a place in the city. I wanted a place on the land. Something useful.
But you knew you had no skill.
I thought I could carry garbage or dig holes until I learned something useful.
Why do you want the land?
I don't know. Just a feeling. It was a mistake, I suppose. I guess when Moses took the children out of Egypt, I managed to get myself lost in the wilderness.
Early the next morning, Arya came to report that Aroni had disappeared.
His things are gone. He must be trying to walk all the way back to Haifa.
Fool, he'll be walking through hostile territory. They'll kill him.
And so we went out to find him. Ben Tzvi found him on the other side of the swamp.
Look! Look what I've got! A camel!
In the name of all the prophets, the rabbis, and the sages of the first Sanhedrin.
An idea we could call the camel Sanhedrin.
Where did you get him?
From the Arab.
What Arab?
One of the Arabs who shot at us.
Why didn't he shoot at you?
He had no bullets left. We talked sign language, then I traded with the Arab my satchel and all the clothes for the camel.
Even the United Nations wouldn't believe that.
I can't help it, Ben Tzvi. It's the truth.
Aroni, the whole thing is ridiculous. I've been here for years. I've never seen a camel.
Here's a camel.
What are you going to do with him?
He can carry a half a ton of gravel on his back.
So?
So the camel and I carry gravel from the hill over there to the swamp over here. We can line the bottom of the swamp and then build walls on four sides, and we can grow fish. It'll be a fish factory. I read about it in a newspaper.
We had a meeting. And the timid consensus was that Aroni and the camel could stay.
Mind you, it's only for a trial period of 2 weeks.
Thanks.
Come on, Sanhedrin. To the gravel heap.
Of all the beasts of burden, the camel is the most savage. He isn't tame, he's only stupid. But somehow, Aroni managed to get him to work.
I make up songs for it.
It was Arya who overheard one of the songs.
Say the words again.
The words aren't much.
Say them.
Oh,
my camel, you are my comrade as we work together with the gravel. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel.
I don't want to seem critical, but the words don't go together.
That makes no difference, just so long as they fit the music. Come on, Sanhedrin, there's lots of gravel. Let's get back to work.
Gamal, gamali, gamal, gamali, haveratali.
I think that nowhere in the world have there ever been pioneers like ours. Elsewhere, those who have come to the land have found good soil and sweet water and tall trees growing. But we found a poor land, naked, neglected, eroded, without a tree, with hardly a blade of grass, parched for water, stony, tired. And we have carried away the stones with our hands and brought back the soil with our hands and tried with our hands to comfort and to replenish and to restore the land. We are strong, but here was Oroni, not strong. Fatigued by 8 years of hunger, frayed by 8 years of despair and near madness, clumsy, wounded, humiliated. What was he doing loading baskets with gravel? Loading the baskets onto a camel.
Hold, Sanhedrin, hold!
It wasn't a handsome sight, caked with dirt. And living in such proximity to the camel, his fragrance was communicated over great distances.
Aroni, a little gift, 2 cakes of soap.
That week, we had respect for Reuben Aroni. He had given himself a task, and he was carrying it out.
Sanhedrin is a very musical camel.
That's a pretty tune, Aroni.
Too bad you don't have a violin.
A supply truck goes out from the city toward the settlement. It carries cans of food, nails, a plow, medicine, sometimes a book, a pot to hold soup, or a flower. Sometimes a truck can even find space for a second-hand violin.
Is it all right if...
Sure. I haven't seen a violin for 9 years. I don't suppose this is much of an instrument.
I thought I'd forgotten music. Doesn't sound bad.
Aroni, we've been watching you. It's a good job you're doing.
The camel and I.
Here's the bow to the violin.
Yeah, I think it'll play when it's tuned.
Will you play for us?
I'll play on the Sabbath. That is, I'll play if...
You'll be here on the Sabbath. All the Sabbaths, Aroni.
There is a terrible exhaustion that descends after the evening meal. Arms and legs are heavy, the head droops, eyes are half-lidded, and the fatigue is like a living presence. But that night, Reuben Aroni tuned the violin, and he played for us the song of his camel. Oh, my camel, you are my comrade. As we work together with the gravel, how goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. There in the desert, there was a rush of melody from Reuben Aroni, a man redeemed from the wilderness. Those next days, while Aroni and his camel work together to transform a stagnant swamp into a fish pond. The rest of us plowed and built our houses and guarded our settlement against attack. Slowly, our little settlement acquired a habit. Whenever Aroni and his camel passed a man in the field or a woman at work, there was always a greeting.
Aroni, what's new? Let's hear it.
What's new, Aroni?
Melody seemed to come as easy to him as speech to another man. In the weeks and the months that followed, it seemed that even the smallest incident could produce a song.
Aroni, you look thirsty and hot.
No more than always, Rivka.
Hold the cup. I'll pour.
Thank you.
Bring your camel. I'll fill the bucket.
Rivka.
Yes?
That's the same as Rebecca.
Yes, Aroni.
How does it go in the Bible?
I'm not sure.
And it came to pass that the damsel was very fair to look upon. And the servant ran to meet her and said, give me to drink, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher. And Rebecca said, drink, my lord. And she gave him drink. And when she had done, she said, I will draw for thy camels also, until they have done drinking.
Aroni, we laughed at you. Forgive us.
No one laughed.
Make the words into a song.
I'll try, Rivka.
Do it for me.
Yes, Rivka. Thank you for the water. There is nothing so good for thirst as water. Beautiful maiden, pray lower your pitcher and give me water.
Drink, kind sir, and I shall give water to your camels, too.
Who are you, lovely maiden?
My name is Rebecca.
We are an outpost in the desert. Green fields flung like a live banner against the brownness of dead sand. The houses grow where we have come, the water courses, and seed comes to flower. The baldness is gone from the hills nearby, and the little trees we planted have taken root. There is a green margin of eucalyptus and poplar at the water place, which was once a swamp, and which Aroni and his camel have made into a clear pool where fish are planted like a crop and where food is harvested. So much to have done in so short a time.
In so short a time?
Not so short. It's taken 2,000 years.
Yes, but that's history. We're not history. Do you know what day this is?
It's Wednesday.
I don't mean that. Don't you remember?
Have I forgotten to do something again?
A year ago today, you came here.
You remember?
I had gone to the well. Gordon was showing you around. At first, well, I can tell you now. At first, I thought you were an old man.
I was.
I watched you day after day.
I was looking at the land.
You never smiled.
It looked so tired. I didn't think the trees could take root.
Or the people.
Rivka, I carried gravel. I planted olive and eucalyptus. And one day you gave me water to drink. Rivka, something happened.
I know.
I've been growing younger.
Like the land.
Yes. Rivka, look. Have you noticed? Our olive trees, they're turning green.
When you come to the land and plant trees, and trees and soil give forth their abundance, then shall you be like a tree planted by the waters. passed over the red, red sea and come out of the midst of a barbarous people, and behold, Judah became his territory and Israel his dominion.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now, we take great pleasure in presenting Mrs. Joan Comey, wife of the permanent representative of Israel to the United Nations, lecturer and author of the recently published book, Everyone's Guide to Israel. Mrs. Comey.
This Eternal Light play serves as a forceful reminder of the difficulties and handicaps under which Israel has been built. Not only did it involve the conquering of the harsh, neglected land, but it also meant, in hundreds of thousands of cases, breaking the human resource into jobs for which they had little or no training. And this breaking was done by the determined will of the pioneers themselves, a point so aptly brought out in the play. In Israel, on the 9th of February, the 15th day of Shvat, we celebrate Tu B'Shvat. This is Israel's Arbor Day. The Jews of ancient times regarded this day as the new year of the trees. All over Israel on the 9th of February, the school children will go out and plant young trees under the direction, of course, of the Keren Kayemet, Israel's great land reclamation authority. They'll go in buses and taxis, or they'll walk. And all you'll hear when you wake up that morning in Israel is the sound of the singing youngsters. Even the toddlers of the kindergarten are involved, though the trees they plant will probably have to be replanted by the hovering gardener. But when the trees are planted, there will be gay folk dancing too. In the nearly 15 years of statehood, more than 45 million trees have been planted in Israel. And there are birds and shade where there was once only rock and swamp. But half of Israel is still a desert, and this is our greatest challenge and our fondest dream today. Young men and women, driven by the same dream we heard defined in the play, are going south, pushing back the desert by piping water into the thirsty land, making stubborn green patches appear, forcing it to yield up phosphates, potash, oil, and copper ore, and setting regiments of trees marching across the dun-colored waste. The difficulties of colonizing this Negev should be heartbreaking, but like the spirit that shines through Ben Zvi, Aryeh, and Aharoni, the people in the play, this is one of the most exciting battles between man and nature being fought anywhere in the world.
Thank you, Mrs. Comey. Eternal Light drama today, The Camel and I, was written by Morton Wishengrad and was the 10th in a series of recreations of 12 outstanding Eternal Light programs. Cantor Robert H. Siegel was the vocal soloist. Featured in the cast were John Gibson, Mandel Kramer, Santos Ortega, Carl Weber, and Terry Keane. The narrator was Lester Rollins. Be with us next week when The Eternal Light presents An American Ballad, written by Irv Tunick. This is Bill McCord. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.